الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم وآلهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، بسم الله العلماء الكرام، الأخوة والأخوات، if we have to go back into history, long, long time ago, before any human being had even set foot on this earth, in Jannah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed His malaika, His angels, to show honor to Ashraful Makhluqat, to the finest of Allah Ta'ala's creation, that is His human being, and for them to bow down before our father Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know the story very, very well. At that time it was the jealousy, the pride, the arrogance of Shaitan, of Iblis, that prevented him from complying with the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereby he became a shaitan rajim, the devil that is a curse until the day of Qiyamah. And we know very well at that time, shaitan very, very boldly exclaimed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his lifelong ambition and his lifelong goal. And that is to get even with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to take revenge from this insan, from human being. قَالَ أَرَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ خَلْتَنِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامِ لَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَى قَلِيلًا. Wa ta'ala, you have preferred this human being over me. Allah, give me life until the day of Qiyamah, and I will show you how I will snatch this insan away from you, from your worship, and how I will take them into my grip. Now we have to fast forward, my dear brothers, and come into, he also said, وَلَوْضُلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَوْمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيْبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانًا عَامًا وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala, I will lead them astray. And Allah Ta'ala, I will cause them to get involved in various types of vices. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala, I will tempt them, I will seduce them, and I will cause them to change the things, or change the way that you have created things. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Under the commentary of this verse, خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, the tafsir, in tafsir Qazi mentioned, hey, what does this refer to? So the Mufassir writes that Allah Ta'ala has created certain things as permissible and others impermissible. Certain things as halal, other things as haram. And Allah Ta'ala has also created certain things with a specific function, a specific role, and for a specific purpose. So Shaitan said, oh Allah, I will take them into my grip. And those things that were halal, they will take as haram. And the goal and the purpose and the functions which you have created things, oh Allah, I will cause them to distort that, to alter that, and that and change that. Now we have to fast forward and come to our time, my dear brothers, and we find that this ambition of Shaitan and this goal of Shaitan is becoming a reality. Many, many things of the past, in the past, not so long ago, which are being regarded as totally abnormal, things as unacceptable, unimaginable. Not only according to Muslims, but any person who had a sane mind, a clear mind, this would be unimaginable, impossible according to him. But through the efforts of Shaitan, the sinister efforts of Shaitan and his agents, we find that many of those unimaginable things have become the norms of society. Many of those abnormal things have become the norms of society. And this is precisely and we find that when a person has now speak up against these abnormal acts and these things that are absolutely wrong, then now people brand this person as non-progressive, and this person is backward, and this person is moving ahead with the times. And this is precisely the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا تَرَبْتُمُ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ الْمُنْكَرِ. O my Sahaba, what will be the state of affairs when this ummah will neglect their obligation of amr bil ma'ruf nahy al munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil? Sahaba was shocked. He said, oh Allah's Nabi, can a time, such a time come when this ummah will neglect its obligation? Allah's Nabi said, yes, wa na'ahu ashaddu min. Oh my Sahaba, that will happen, and things worse that will happen. Kayfa bikum idha ra'aytum al ma'rufa munkara wal ma'rufa munkara wal munkara ma'rufa. And oh my Sahaba, what will be the state of affairs when this ummah begins to see the good as bad and the bad as good? When this ummah begins to see the good as bad and the bad as good. Now my dear brother, amongst the things that Shaitan has caused to alter and change, and that is the status of woman in society. the status of women in society. And we find that this agenda is being put forward so strongly. Next month is the month of August. We know the month of August in our country is celebrated as National Women's Month. Women's Month. And during this month we hear words like sexism, feminism, equal opportunities for men and women, equal rights for men and women. And generally we find that people take this opportunity or they bring into this discussion and they see that Islam is a religion that breeds, and Islam is a religion that advocates, and Islam is a religion that teaches oppression towards women. And we find that this agenda of feminism and sexism and the rest of it is being put forward as such an impetus, so strongly, that let alone the kuffar already accepting it, we find many, many Muslims are left doubting. Many, many Muslims are left doubting. And then you get those so-called liberal Muslims, so-called progressive Muslims, who have already also accepted this ideology of feminism, this Western concept of feminism. You know, Allah's Nabi speaks in the hadith of Dasiyat al-Hariyat, that close to Qiyamah, there will be a type of woman that will now come out. We find a new breed of woman. In the past, we had women who were homely, who were pious, and those who otherwise. And those who otherwise realized, I might be not covering my hair. I know it's wrong, but because of my weakness, I'm not covering my hair. But nowadays, you get those women who talk the talk of deen, who speak about deen. This hadith, Akasiyat and Hariyat. The normal interpretation given this hadith that you get women who will be dressed up. But despite being dressed up, because of their clothing being short or their clothing being revealing, so they'll be dressed up and naked at the same time. But one modern day scholar, he gave the interpretation of this hadith that it means Allah's Nabi is being figurative here. Rather, close to Qiyamah, you get women who will wear the clothing of deen. They'll wear the abaya, they'll wear the scarf. But their hearts will be ravished and their hearts will be consumed by modernism and the Western concept of feminism. So my dear brothers, it's become imperative and it's become important for us to understand that what really is the goal, what really is the function, and what does Islam have to say about women. But before we have to analyze the whole thing, we have a few things to first say to the people of the West, those people who accuse Islam of being a religion that abuses women, that preaches abuse towards women. Number one, that before you come to preach to us about what is abuse to women and what is not, why don't you take a look at your own backyards? Take a look at your own countries and see the rates of abuse in your own countries. The Time magazine carried a report which says that annually, in the United States of America, annually, 6 million women are subject to abuse at the hands of their husbands. And from this number, annually, approximately 4,000 women are beaten to death by their husbands. Another report said that 40% of murders that take place of women in the United States is a direct result of domestic abuse that the woman is suffering at home. And 25% of suicides committed by women in the United States is a result of the abuse and the oppression that this woman is suffering at home. So we say to the people of the West that before you come to preach to us about what is abuse to women or not, first take a look at your own country, your own backyard. You have snakes around your neck, but you are accusing somebody else, or you are finding fault with that person who assumedly, according to your assumption, has a fly flying around his nose. And secondly, my dear brothers, when the West speak about emancipation of women and freedom of women, it seems as though they mean strip the woman of her modesty and take her out of her home and throw her into the corporate world, into the business world, so that the woman can be subject now to even more abuse and more manipulation. To them it seems as though a woman, a woman who stays at home and looks after her husband and her family, who love her, who care for her, a husband who provides for her, who will literally give his life for her, if this is oppression for them, but for a woman to serve an entire plane load of men, each one of them having evil thoughts about this woman, many of whom were given the opportunity of thinking twice about violating this woman, and for a woman to cover up her beauty and only expose her beauty to a lawful wife, to a lawful husband, but for a woman to be dressed up semi-naked and to be paraded upon some stage like some sort of cattle, if this is their idea of oppression or of emancipation and freedom of women, then unfortunately we and the West are on two different wavelengths and two different frequencies. I will not be able to reason with them. But when they speak of emancipation of women and freedom of women, if they mean that they won't be given the dignity, the love, the respect that they deserve, then we say to the people of the West that there is nothing new that you can teach in this regard. There is absolutely nothing new that you can teach in this regard. There is no religion in the world. There is no constitution in the world. There is no government in the world who has given more dignity, more honor, and more respect to women than Islam has given. And for us to understand this and understand the significance of this statement, we merely have to look at the plight of women in times of Nabi alayhi wasalam. Many times for us to understand the significance of his statement, we have to look at the historical context of that. Like in this country, if I tell a person that we in this country enjoy racial freedom, so the person will say, big deal. This is the case in many other countries of the world. But we have to explain to you the party, the regime we have in this country and the background of this country, then he will appreciate the statement. Likewise, when you read Quran and Hadith, we get an understanding of what was the plight of women just prior to the birthat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran Sharif speaks of female infanticide, where a person, when he will be given the glad news of a daughter being born, then this person, many times he will take this child, he felt it is a disgrace for him, and he will bury her alive. Quran Sharif speaks of other issues, likewise the Hadith Sharif speaks of other issues of abuse towards women. There's no time to go into details. And this is not something only found amongst the Arabs. The historians have written at that time, the other civilizations, be it the Greeks, be it the Chinese, be it the Indians, all of them were involved in oppression of women. An example they give is that in India at that time, a woman after her husband had passed away, she did not deserve to live any longer. So what they would do is that with the dead body of the husband, they would also burn the woman. With the dead body of the husband, they would also burn the woman. So, to put it in short, medieval is a very, very difficult time for a woman to be living. But it was in that atmosphere, and that kind of society, and that kind of world, this male-dominated society, that Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now stands up. And he makes powerful statements. Statements that were going to challenge the male-dominated society. Statements that were going to go against the norms of society. Statements that go against the norms that have become infused in the blood of the person. Allah's Nabi stands up and he says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ O people, Allah Ta'ala instructs you to treat your woman fairly. Allah's Nabi stands up and says, O people, it is not correct for you to go on inheriting women in the way that you are inheriting women. Allah's Nabi stands up and he says, daughters who not long ago were regarded as a curse for the person, a disgrace for the person. Allah's Nabi stands up and he says, that person, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with daughters. And he looks after his daughters and he gives them a good upbringing. On the day of Qiyamah, that person, Muhammad says, will come like this. Come very, very close together. Allah Nabi comes and he gives such rights to the mother and gives her three rights over the rights of the father. And he says, if you're looking for Jannah, then look for Jannah at the feet of your mother. Allah Nabi comes and he gives such rights to women, to wives. He says, khiyarukum khiyarukum linisa'i. Then from now on, the best amongst you is not that person who is the most macho, or that person who displays his feet on the battlefield. Rather, the best amongst you is that person who can be the kindest and the softest to his wife. Allah's Nabi in Hajjatul Wida, when Allah's Nabi's mission now drawing to an end, and Allah's Nabi only outlines the most important issues of his teachings of his life. At that juncture, to Allah's Nabi says, "Ustawsu bin Nisa'i Khayra." Oh my people, accept my advice regarding women, please treat your woman fairly. To put it in short, my dear brothers, there is no system in the world who has given more dignity to a woman than Islam has given. However, my dear brothers, we must understand, and if your heart can accept this, make sure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala has not created man and the woman the same. Allah has not created man and woman the same. Be it emotionally, be it physically, be it mentally, man and different are two separate creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a point that the West always seems to miss. When they speak of women's rights, then they speak of women's right as compared to men. As women's right as compared to men. But rather they should be looking at that women are one creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created in a certain way, and men are another creation of Allah, created in another way. To an extent they do accept it. When it comes to the sporting, the different sports, the different types of codes of sport that they have separate categories for men and separate categories for women. Because they realize if we have to put the woman against the men, then the woman will be at a disadvantage. So men have been created differently and women have been created differently. Each one of these men and women are vital components of society. And each one of them, Allah Ta'ala has created them for a specific purpose and a specific goal. Allah has created men to go out of the home, to face the harsh world out there, and to earn a living and bring home to provide for his wife and his children. And Allah Ta'ala has created the woman to stay indoors, to cover up her beauty, and to take care of the domestic affairs, and for her life to become the first madrasa, and the first school from which the future generation will be inspired. I mean, after all, it was the sabr that Ismail alayhi salam noticed in his mother when she was left in the barren plains of Makkah. The sabr he noticed in her prompted him to say, Satajidni inshaAllah min as-sabirin. Wow, O my father, Allah instructs you to slaughter me. I am patient, I am prepared to bow down to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has created men with a function and women with a function. You know that we have the engine in the car. We have the coolant and we have the engine oil. Each one of these things are vital components of an engine. If any one of these things are missing, then that vehicle will not function properly. And just as long as that engine oil and that coolant are running in their channels, the engine will function properly. But as soon as there is a leak, and now the oil and the engine and the coolant begin to mix one another. Now any mechanic, that engine will soon be severely damaged and the engine might even pack up. Likewise, medievalists, if men and women now begin to cross roles, and women are now asked to come out of their homes and rub shoulders with men, just as that engine will not function any longer, likewise you'll find there will be a major breakdown in society. And society will not be able to function any longer. So my dear brothers, the reason for me to speak this today, time is around, the reason we speak this today, unfortunately we find that there are certain elements in the Muslim community that have now been influenced by this Western ideology of feminism. And they're making it seem to the gullible Muslim that the issue of a woman covering up her hair is an issue of option. If you want, you can. If you want, you don't have to. Or a woman traveling with a mahram a certain distance is an issue of option. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You must realize that because these women have been influenced by this Western ideology of feminism. This is something which is totally taboo and something that is foreign to Islam. And likewise, maybe Allah Ta'ala has made us men. And Allah Ta'ala, ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun ra'iyati. Allah Ta'ala has made us in charge of a flock that we have beneath us, underneath us, under us, who are we in charge of. So we must make our women understand, be it our mothers, be it our sisters, be it our daughters, make them understand that their true dignity and their true honor and their true respect is in bowing down to what Allah wants of them. Bowing down to what Allah wants from them. And not to bow down and giving to what the world wants from them and what the West wants from them. Allah give us understanding.